Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is a Thursday, June 1st. June 1.
Pride Month, baby.
Let me get this straight.
So we have Memorial. My birthday's in June.
Well, yeah, I'm going to begin that in a second. Let me get this straight. Memorial Day, one day for our fallen heroes. And we got 30 days. 31. Well, the 30, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. January, February, March, April, May.
Well,
30.
July is now Caucasian month.
This is the fall of society, and more than society is falling. I want to welcome everyone to this program. Please follow us on Rumble. Subscribe to Rumble. Subscribe to Brighteon, and subscribe to our channel. Follow us there, or whatever you do.
Just look for the rainbow banners.
Oh, yeah, right. You see rainbow banners. That's not our channel. Anyway, folks, do that. Please go to HagmanPI.com. Bookmark the website, HagmanPI.com. Also, subscribe to us on Rumble and Brighteon. And give us a thumbs up if you so desire. If you don't, nah, I don't care. But it does help the algorithms, and it does it does actually get this program out to more people. I want to thank those people who have done so, and I want to tell you how much I appreciate you putting this on social networking. Look, we try to give you, we are as transparent as possible. We try to give you our investigative research product up front and let you know what's going on. One of the things going on right now, very quickly, very, very quickly, the debt ceiling bill. Okay, if you are not angry, then you have no idea how bad you just got screwed. I mean, how bad the rhino, the right, the Republicans, if that's what you want to call them, McCarthy and company, and MTG, and Boebert, they screwed you, okay? They're professional friggin' prostitutes who screwed you. Let me tell you why. Look, this bill normalizes record high spending that began with the pandemic. This funds every spending request by the Biden regime, and within that regime are the communists who want to take down this country. Okay, this, look, high levels, these high levels of built within this debt ceiling bill,
the aren't O new Biden, baseline. The O Biden regime.
O Biden regime. You're damn right, the O Biden regime.
The it all o, started there.
It did in recent in modern times. Hang on, brother, because I got to talk to you. This allows the budget or the government to grow about 1% per year, the budget within the government. Now, just so you know this, between 2019 and 2023, the government spending grew by $4 trillion. I'm sorry, by $2 trillion, excuse me. So 2019 to 2023, government spending grew by $2 trillion. I don't even know how much that is. Do you? Now, it's gone from the $4 trillion where it was at 2023 currently. It now bumps this by another $2 trillion, which is a new baseline. You follow me on that? So what was high is now normal. It suspends the debt limit until January 1st, 2025. OG. The IRS, the 87,000 agents, remember those people? Yeah, well, guess what? See, the IRS is getting cut, but the 87,000 new agents are going to remain. The SNAP benefits, you know, the welfare benefits, able-bodied people who are able to work but just aren't. Yeah, it increases the age that, look, if you're between 0 to 49, you can get SNAP benefits, able-bodied people. Well, it bumps that up by 5 years. Big friggin' deal.
Sweet.
Yeah. But you know what it doesn't do? It doesn't repeal. There's no repeal of the student loan forgiveness aspect of things. In other words, you have a student loan. Yeah, you might still be forgiven for your student loan. What about those people who paid off their student loans? But again, this funds every spending request by the O'Biden, thank you, regime on the planet. So the 71 Republicans who voted for this, I think it's 71. Find out if you're a Republican, voted for this. If they did, primary their asses. And you might say, well, how do you do that with rigged machines? Well, I guess you don't. So I guess we have to look for other ways. And you think I'm being a little bit hyperbolic on that? No, I don't think so. Let's play real quick video clip number one, Chip Roy on the debt ceiling bill. There's a reason our Democrat colleagues support this. I like Chip Roy. I would have a cup of coffee with that man any day of the week. But because he's a politician, I'd make sure to check my pockets after I left the table. Here it is.
I want to be very clear. Not one Republican should vote for this deal.
Yes.
Not one. If you're out there watching this, every one of my colleagues, be very clear. Not one Republican should vote for this deal. It is a bad deal. No one sent us here to borrow an additional $4 trillion to get absolutely nothing in return. But at best, if I'm being really generous, a spending freeze for a couple of years. That's it. That's about what you get. And frankly, you're going to make things worse, and my Democratic colleagues know it. That's why they're supporting it. Mm-hmm. That's why they're going around gleeful. Like, there's a reason our Democrat colleagues support this. There's a reason that Mitt Romney supports this. There's a reason that Bill Kristol supports this. It's all the same stuff. There's a reason that our conservative allies are opposing it roundly. The Club for Growth scoring against it. The Heritage Foundation scoring against it. Freedom Works scoring against it. Ron DeSantis publicly opposed. President Trump said he thought we should default rather than pursue this kind of lunacy. At the end of the day, the only person that would default in this town is Joe Biden, unless Republicans default on the American dream by voting for this bad bill. That is why this group will oppose it. We will continue to fight it today, tomorrow, and no matter what happens, there's going to be a reckoning about what just occurred unless we stop this bill by tomorrow.
All right, there you go. Hey, Chip, you better check for stab wounds in your back. Just saying. Throughout the program, I'm going to be talking about George Soros' son. Oh, the legacy lives on. Visiting Biden 17 times since he's been in office. We're going to be a little bit instructive about the Cloward Piven strategy. We're going to talk about the trans agenda as well, and about how we're being ripped apart internally. I'm going to meet the violent anarchists behind DHS's pyramid of far-right radicalization, of course, who the architect is there. And then, of course, going to expand upon that, which is just absolutely important because there will be attacks. And to talk about the attacks, when I say attacks, false flag attacks is what I mean. And by false flag attacks, the attacks will be real, but the people behind the attacks are going to be the the people in power, okay, to impose additional draconian measures upon us. Look, we are This country is on life support right now. With me to talk about this, of course, Randy Taylor, Randy, or RT at HagmanPI.com. If you want to contact him, that's RT at HagmanPI.com, RT at HagmanPI.com, and also bookmark HagmanPI.com as well. A lot of new information going up. Got a busy day today, busy day tomorrow, and busy weekend. Going to be putting up a lot of stuff on HagmanPI.com. Randy, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
Yesterday, you were with me. We talked about, I think it was off air, we talked about false flags coming up.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And before airtime today, you remind me of the time when we were doing some operative work for the government. And why don't you go through that again? Because the way you tell it, of course, it beats the heck out of the way I can tell. Oh, before we begin, I just want to acknowledge the fact that Saturday is Eric the Tech's birthday. Tomorrow we'll have cake and ice cream and little balloons and stuff for him.
Can I have sprinkles?
With sprinkles, and give him a cookie and make him happy. But
sprinkles are for winners, Eric.
Unbelievable. But yesterday you were talking about, before airtime today, you were talking about a few things. I'm going to let you kind of explain what you were saying, because again, I don't think I could do that justice. I remember the time, I remember the things that went on, but this plays right into the attacks that will happen, and we will be blamed for it. By the way, look, they're trying to put Bannon in jail, they're trying to put Jones in jail, they're trying to put this people from this platform in jail. When I say they, I'm talking about the weaponized Department of Justice. Just understand that. But aside from that, what you were saying could very well, you know, land us in jail.
We have to when we were doing counterterrorism work, a lot of it came down to, you know, rather than taking the usual government approach of being reactive, we attempted to be proactive. And when you get proactive, you try and grab, you try and decipher what's going on to the point that you're almost predicting things. It was funny because agencies would call up and go, what do you think's going to happen? And, you know, I always hated that question because if I'm wrong, I look fairly stupid. However, in certain climates, this has been one of those climates, and this also being a thing where we know the type of games these people play, we have to look for certain criteria when it comes to a false flag. And the way they're going, there's a lot of events, a lot of places, a lot of things could happen. I mean, Jones is right about the power grid. Consider that a huge attack, they would have to really, really knock out a massive section. I could see that happening. Smaller scale, boom, 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 different times, almost back to back, whatever. I'm looking at, since they're getting desperate, okay, we got the elections coming up next year, they're going to want to try and pull the same stunt they did during COVID. They're going to somehow want to hinder our rights, lock us down, pull something. So what I'm looking at is I think they're looking at something that's going to have a body count. Okay, not just power grids. That's a delayed body count after the people start fighting. But so bat this around in your brains. And it was we just talked about it yesterday. Just really, I started looking at it yesterday. So I'm going to need a little time to work with this. However, I'll look for events that they're going to be able to blame the far right. And of course, their most famous and preferred scapegoat, the white supremacist. Now, I'm not really sure this white supremacist thing, I think what really started this and where everything is boiled down to that was that, I think it was in the Carolinas when Trump was, I think Trump was president. But and the guy ran the car through the crowd and killed some people. And they said the KKK and white supremacists. And I think they kind of used that for a takeoff point. Because after that, it seemed like every single event somehow it was like 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon. You know, they somehow were going to tie it to white supremacists. It doesn't matter. The school shootings, they always try and drag something to that. The guy that rented the, I think it was a Ryder truck, it was Ryder or U-Haul, and then headed towards the White House. This is just, a month ago. And they're calling the first thing out of the media's mouth before anything, white supremacists, because they had a Nazi flag neatly laid out on the ground in the parking lot, right? And then when you see the guy, he would be the one that the white supremacists would attack. And it was just
exactly
the BS of all of it. And this is, once again, this is a corrupt media. We don't, I want to, Doug taught me something. When I first met Doug 20 some years ago, I had never really written anything for public consumption. So I wrote a couple pieces, sent them to Doug. I called them articles. Doug corrected me. He said, some things are articles, other things are editorials. And that always stuck in my head, because the editorial is my opinion. An actual well-done article doesn't really give you an opinion. It gives you facts, and you draw. You know, I mean, it's not a hit piece. It's referenced very well. It's backed up by data. And so there's a big difference there. And what we're seeing today in the media, we see more editorials than we do true journalism. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Would you agree with that, Doug?
100%.
Because what we're doing is, everything that comes out has got this slant on it, left slant. Boom. And hey, the right does it too, but not to the extent that the left does it. And the right really does it just in response to the left. Because you've got, when you talk about major media outlets in the U.S. on television, okay, and cable, you know, you've got 7 or 8. And when it comes to conservative, you have basically 2. You know, that OAN, whatever, and Fox. So for Fox to put something out with the right slant, what else are you going to do? You're getting beat up so bad by the left. I understand them doing that.
Wait a minute. Are you sticking up for Fox?
No. I'm pointing out right, left, and the slants.
Okay. Because Fox is dead to me, in my view. Okay. Fox can kiss my ass.
All right.
Okay, because it came out where, I don't know whether you saw this, none of the anchors are allowed to mention the name Tucker Carlson. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. If I had to sit down and watch a news station, though, and dealing with just what I have, I would take Fox over CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, or CBS.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Relative, yeah. Right.
Okay. So when you lay it out, it's just like when we get ourselves in the quandary about, what do you do for a presidential pick? Well, they all suck. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got you. So when you look at it that way, what we have to look at, if there's going to be an event, they're going to twist it against the white supremacist, and they're going to want to seek pity. Now, someone pointed out to me yesterday that, like after 9/11 and all, the United States, unites. We're in a different world today. We're in a different climate. After really around 9/11 time, we weren't so far left and so far right. This wasn't going on. Everything was still kind of in the middle. Okay. Now, it's so far left, so far right, that if they pull a stunt, it's going to have to hurt probably blacks, the LGBTQ+.
That mashup of letters that makes no sense.
The alphabet group. We should just call them the alphabet group. Okay.
Yeah, the communist alphabet group. Go ahead.
So we'll call them the alphabet group. And children, because what they're going to want to do is they're going to want to paint the white supremacist, what they're going to claim is white supremacists, and all white people and all Republicans and all conservative as murderers. So we have to sit down and we have to, and when I look at events and things like that, that's what my criteria is going to be. First one jumped in my head yesterday, I would be very concerned with Daytona has races around the 4th. They have a nighttime race. Okay, and I used to go to every event at that track. And I used to sit there and watch, especially after 9/11, I would sit there and watch the trucks going through the tunnels to go to the infield. Little to no security. And that bothered me. It bothered me enough that I went and questioned security about it. They said that there was adequate security. Who am I? I'm just an observer. I did point out some possible scenarios to them. Hopefully it's stuck in their head and, you know, we'll do something in the future. But that is families. So that would also be a very viable target because they want to make us look ruthless. Ruthless. And that anything that's going to be, and the other thing we were talking about is they would use something like that in primary reason is they want to be able to say, oh, and they did it on our most patriotic day. These people are scum. You know what I'm saying? Where they could say that they're the patriots. I see this all the time on the left. They say they're patriots. And I'm like, what are you, high? You really need to look up what the word patriot even means. So that's in order to be the scapegoats, there's going to have to be certain criteria. And that's pretty much what I'm looking at. And I'm sure Doug's going to be looking at that too. We used to, and I'll tell you this, I'm going to tell the London story.
There you go.
We had a fellow that was in our outfit in our group, worked closely with, that was dying of cancer. And Skip. And I didn't know if Skip was a Christian or not. I really wanted to talk to him about the Lord Jesus Christ and, and salvation. And so that I made a trip up there. Doug picked me up at the airport. We met Skip and then Doug and I, you know, to our devices. But I went back at Doug's studio and we were sitting there. And then I know we were, I think I'd written an article, but something about, I had made jokes about Kanatistan, how it was really leaning towards the Muslims. But I also said, we need to be concerned because London is a target. A lot of the intel that we were pulling off the boards, we were looking at what they call in London, the tubes. I was seeing references to the tubes, diagrams of the tubes in London, that different file repositories that I had managed to tap into. And I would go in there and peruse through the files. And, you know, you find all kinds of stuff. I found Saddam Hussein's hanging before anybody in the West, anybody. I'm talking news. Even our government didn't know that guy had been hung. And I had it on video from my cell phone. So these file repositories were great. And there was so much in there about London that it drew concern. And it also tied in with some desktop backgrounds that we were tracking. When I say that, they were using, Al-Qaeda was actually using Windows desktop backgrounds as signals in a file. Person would go to the file, certain background, that described their target to them. That was already predetermined. So we were really getting close on these guys. Well, anyway, we said London is going to be a target. Lo and behold, the very next day, they attacked London. And I'm sure folks are old enough to remember that. It was horrific.
And to be clear, I just want to make this, to set this up properly. We're in my studio, and Randy Taylor is, because of the layout, it was very, very small time, and he was behind me, and he said, there's going to be an attack. It's going to be London. And I'm pretty sure you said it'll be tomorrow, the next day, or very, very soon.
Very, very, very soon.
Okay. And
we made it public.
That's right. And then it was within 20 hours, I believe.
Yeah.
The largest attack occurred in London. And I'll let you go ahead and complete that.
It was amazing because, trust me, I had everybody on the who was anybody calling me and emailing me and wanting to know, how could you possibly know that? And I tried to describe it to them. I tried to say, you know, when you're doing an analysis like this, these are the different things you have to look at, because they have people out there today, they call them, you know, analysts. I'm like, what are you analyzing? You know, what's your criteria? What, you know, are you looking for patterns? I mean, what are you doing? In words, what's your source? There's a whole dynamic to that. And you've got to be pretty good at it. But you've got to read the enemy, and you have to go one step further. You have to think like the enemy. And that's a tough one. That's probably the toughest one for law enforcement or intelligence to grab. They have to think like the enemy. And that's how that came about. We were also very close, Doug, on the Mumbai train bombing. If you recall that, the one where they had put the charge at head level. That one we knew because of a desktop background.
That's right. That's right.
That's it. And I actually got some people, because it sounded so crazy what I was telling them. And I was trying to explain to them that these backgrounds each have an individual meaning. There were no hidden things inside the picture or anything. These were predetermined that when this desktop background appears, this is your target.
Correct.
And that's where you got to jump in. And that's what I'm trying to do right now, because the enemy is an Al-Qaeda now. Oh, don't get me wrong. They haven't gone away. I'm surprised they haven't attacked with the shambles that we're in politically. The red flag isn't going to be blamed on an enemy overseas. I don't see that, because, first of all, conservative right, Christians, patriots, we are the primary target right now for blame. They want to discredit us, put us in jail. It's just like living underneath the communist regime, you know, where you're only allowed to say this and say that. We have to be guarded on the show here on what we say. Otherwise, there's going to be a knock on the door. Look what happened to these people on January 6th. Some of them that didn't even go in the building are in jail for being on the property.
And you know, soon some people who were never in Washington will be in jail.
Yeah, that's coming. That's coming. And I hope we're soulmates. But anyway, this is where we're going with this. The Washington is corrupt. And sure, we have a Republican Congress. That doesn't mean anything. Okay, because they are a bunch of jackasses. There might be, out of everyone, there might be three congressmen that I even like. And
that's pushing it, but that's okay.
And that is, yeah, but I'm being actually kind of generous there. That's the shambles that we are in politically in this country. They're all singing the same song, and they all wear the same clothes, but they've got this little imaginary line that they sell to the public. And something's coming. Alex Jones, Doug played a clip from Alex Jones yesterday. And I really have a lot of respect for Alex Jones. I've never got to meet the man. I've never been able to talk to him. I would love one day to meet with him. I'm hoping one day that he could be on the show and I get to co-host on the show that day.
Yeah, and you will.
That would be awesome, because
Alex will be on. I guarantee you. He'll be on.
He was telling us this years ago. We're not talking about 3 years ago, 5 years ago. He was on this 20, 25 years ago.
Yep.
He knew. And the accuracy is what's uncanny. How accurate he's been. Has he been wrong? Sure, he's been wrong. And, of course, everybody throw that right in his face. Oh, you're wrong about this. You're wrong about that. But you know what? Percentage-wise, he's right way more than he's wrong. I'll tell you that right now. And if people are wanting to follow somebody, like the people want to follow Q during the whole Trump thing, don't follow Q. Follow Alex Jones and Doug Hagman, okay? And the guy from Breitbart, Bannon. There's you know what I mean? If you just watch those three, you would know everything that's going on. everything that's of any consequence. But folks, I want you to thank.
But you got to throw you in there too. I mean, you're part of this
as
well.
Okay, but we're a team. This is a Hagman Report. So right. Alex Jones, Hagman Report, Breitbart News, the War Room. Okay, that's one. I love Steve Bannon. I think that he's an incredible guy.
And they're trying like hell to put his bottom in jail too. So I mean, yeah, you know, and, it's going.
It is. And you know what? They're relentless. They're going to keep going at it. I'm watching, you know, I listened to DeSantis. I listened to Trump. It's going to be a real showdown when these guys all get on stage. It really is. And I don't know that I trust any of them. I'm being serious. I can point out flaws on each one. I'm not going to say what I've said before, because enough people to get pissed off at me when I say, well, you have to choose the lesser of the evils. Okay. We're not going to get into that today. We are in a very dangerous position. And what I want you to think about, I'm thinking the reason I said the fourth is because it's our Independence Day. It's our Patriot Day. You know, that's when we're Americans. And I just think that they are so low that they would pull something off and target minorities, people that you don't even have to be minorities, but a good mix of people there. And they need to be able to blame it on white supremacists.
And when you're done, I'm going to give you information for the first time. I have not given you off air. Go ahead.
All right. But I look at that scenario. A couple things come to mind, sporting events. And typically, like, the Middle Eastern terrorists don't really ever attack on an anniversary day, an anniversary of attack. That is rare. A buddy of mine in the CIA taught me that when he used to work for them a million years ago before they turned to garbage. He explained that to me, and he's absolutely right. When you go back and you check the history. However, the clowns that we're dealing with, okay, the murderous clowns that we're dealing with, because I call them murderous, because they will not hesitate to kill you to further their agenda. That's where we're at in the United States. That's where we're at in Canada. We're in trouble, folks. The very people that we used to sleep at night and say, I can sleep because they're on guard. No, you cannot trust them now. You have to watch every move. And the sad part is, especially with an intelligence agency like that, you can't see what they're doing. Unfortunately, the only thing we see is the aftermath.
That's right.
And that is, so you've got to get guys like me, guys like Doug, other good analysts, and we really need to start tearing everything apart and tapping into our resources. I need some, you know, I can't get into that. I need access to things. I've got to get inside their brain.
Their strategy. Okay.
Yeah. Because I don't want to see this happen or what I know is going to happen. I know it in my gut, and my gut's rarely wrong. My gut's kept me alive more times than I could even explain to you. And I got that yesterday. I was talking with Doug. I got that knot in my stomach.
Yep.
And that knot, and it gnawed at me all afternoon, and it gnawed at me last night, and I couldn't go to sleep. I laid there from about 5 minutes after midnight to almost 4:30 in the morning, laid there with things racing through my head. I could not go to sleep. And let me tell you, when I get that way, something's coming. God gave me that intuition. They're up to something. And whatever it is, we may throw some possible scenarios out on this show, and I'll tell you why. Because they monitor us. And if we hit it, and we're even close and just off by that much, they may decide not to do it. Because on this show, they know that we're not full of shit. We only bring you the truth. And if I give you a scenario or Doug gives you a scenario, it's because we're about 99% sure that it is possible. All the pieces are in place. Somebody just has to pull the trigger. And if we see something like that, because we love you, and because you're our brethren, and because you're fellow patriots, and because we're all in this together, and we will live together, and we will die together, that's why we're going to tell you. But we're not going to sit here and predict things like we're sitting in a circus tent somewhere, okay? I love you guys. My office is in disarray. I'm sitting in a kitchen that's being renovated right now so that I can talk to you, okay? Because I'm scared. I'm scared for, not for myself, I'm scared for a bunch of innocent people that are going to get hurt, okay? And, you know, we don't like some groups out there, but I really don't want to see their blood on the street at the hands of a common enemy, which unfortunately, there is elements within our government. And I want you to go back and you remember what Barack Hussein Obama and his little pals with the Underground Railroad, when they talked about sometimes you have to sacrifice a few. Don't ever forget that son of a gun said that. Don't you ever forget that. He said, sometimes you have to sacrifice a few, you know, to get your point across or whatever. I just remember those first few words. Sometimes you have to sacrifice a few.
Yep.
And that was coming from a terrorist. How a terrorist ever got in the White House tells you that the elections are screwed up. He's a terrorist. Obama. That's why I don't even understand why they're going after Trump. They want to put felony convictions on him so he can't run and this and that and the other. Listen. Obama was a terrorist, and Bill Ayers with him. Funny how you don't hear anything about Bill Ayers, do you?
Or Anita Dunn.
Yeah. Who do you think right now is planning this crap?
Exactly.
I'll tell you right now, don't think that old Biden is in charge of the White House. The only thing that he runs is his mouth. And he only says, and that is if he can remember it. It's okay, Ranger. It's all right, Ranger. Sit down. Sorry, buddy. My dog gets cranked up. But I don't know if you get mad about old Biden or because I'm yelling. Anyway.
Both. But I would. He knows. He knows.
There's my boy. It's a, see that face? That's a beautiful dog that if you come and mess with Randy Taylor, you will meet my dog.
Couldn't quite see the face, but I'll tell you what, he's a beautiful dog.
He's a handsome guy. And, you know, sad part, he knows it. Anyway, back to this. And folks, I want you to stop and think. And I want you to think from now, especially until elections. And don't stay home because they win. And also, if you're sitting at home, you can't spot something and save lives. Get out and live your life. But please, don't walk around with your head up your butt or in your armpit. You need to be vigilant. I'm going to start preaching on this thing, on this show, just like we did when we were engaging Al-Qaeda full time. Be vigilant. Be vigilant. Be vigilant. Do not be afraid. And if you hear something, okay, and you're not comfortable with calling the law, don't call the FBI, okay? You want to call somebody, honestly, I'd call my local sheriff.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's absolutely who I would call. I would not, under any circumstances, call the FBI. And you know what's sad? I used to work with those guys. We used to bag terrorists. We used to arrest them. We used to deal with terrorists. Okay? I don't trust them today.
Hey, I was in the same position, working with the FBI. Yeah. I wouldn't give them the time of day today.
Today, I would not trust them. I mean, if I was standing there with the map, the time, and everything, I wouldn't call them. I would call local law enforcement. It'd have to be like a sheriff, even a good chief of police, you know, and I would warn them, don't, you know, be wary of calling the FBI. If it's something I knew for sure, trust me, Doug, and I could muster up a few guys and deal with it if we couldn't get support. Then I'm not pulling your leg. We love you guys. Every last one of you. Okay? And we're not trying to be divided. And I know we made jokes about pride and all. Listen.
There's activists, though. I mean.
Yeah, the activists. And yeah. What I am seeing that I do like is we're seeing a lot of people that are gay are sick and tired. There was a gay guy on a forum last night, and he said that he is sick and tired of the fact that they feel it's necessary to have a whole month for gay people, which exactly what Doug said at the beginning of the show, and one day for our fallen. And that this is a gay man, and he's PO'd. And he also said, because he's against the grooming and the exposing children to any of this, we're starting to see more and more of that. Folks, encourage that behavior, okay? This, what they've done is these people, there's no reason that you need a special section at a retail store for you, your culture, or your sexual preferences. There's no need. When we all walk in the door of the store, we're all the same. When we walk out the door, we're all the same. Everybody is the same as far as rights go. When you take one group and you set them on a pedestal above everyone else, essentially what you do is make them a target. The government, this is one of the folks in these groups, you think that you're being supported by the government and they're on your side and they're fighting for you. No, they're fighting against you. You don't see it. Study this government. This government cannot be trusted. And what they're doing, they're using you for political purposes, and they're sticking you on a pedestal to make you a target because they know if they shove it in people's face enough, some wingnut or somebody's going to get pissed and hurt somebody or kill somebody. Then they can go, and we were supporting those people, and look what they did to them. It's just like I know that some parent's going to walk into school and shoot one of these transsexual deviants that are waving their weenies in little kids' faces. I'll tell you right now, if I had a child and they were 4, 5, 6 years old like that, and that happened at a school that my kid attended, oh, you don't want to deal with Randy Taylor. I'll do the time. I ain't afraid of that.
And we could show you video after video of the things that they're taking place right now that would make you sick, which is why, real quick, Aaron Brickman, you know, we had him on. His initiative for homeschooling, folks, if you haven't seen the Aaron Brickman clip, invest in that. Invest in that because you will...
Skipper,
thank you. Skipper.io. It's not that I forgot. It's I forgot to say that. Skipper.io. If you got a bunch of money laying around, you don't know what to do with, invest in that. So that could be like flying because we've got to get our children out of that environment. Skipper.io and tell them Doug Hagman sent you. So, I mean, seriously, 500, 50,000, 5 million, I don't care. They're almost to ready to launch. They're only probably 500,000 short of their goal. But folks, do this because we are not going to allow our children to be taken hostage. And okay, I want to get back to something before we run out of time because this is very important. You said something, okay? We're talking about when the next attack might take place or could take place. Based on your experience, my experience, collectively, individually, talking about things. This is something that you and I have not talked about, and I want to jump in here and give you my take on this. While you were tossing in bed, I was spending a couple of hours going through some old notes, and I noticed that our government, elements within our government, would, again, I'm trying to be very careful with what I say here, elements within our own government would be complicit in the attacks to the extent that they would either facilitate them or allow them to happen. Okay, or be very, very late in attempting to stop them in a show.
Or provide support.
That's correct. Okay, now, hold that thought, okay, because You mentioned specifically July 4th, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm in agreement with that. It doesn't necessarily have to be on the 4th, but punctuated could very well be during that time period. Now, again, hold that thought. What is June supposedly celebrated for? Pride Month, correct?
Yes, sir.
When did that start? What was the provocative event that is supposedly responsible for Pride Month? Do you know? And it's okay if you don't.
No, I don't. Eric, want to jump in there?
Eric, do you know?
He's a vault of information, so I ask Eric.
Yeah. No, it was the Stonewall riots back in 1968. Okay, now let me just grab my notes here. I've been trying to get them all on the, as opposed to paper. I've been trying to do it electronically. The Stonewall riots happened on June 28th, 1969, Stonewall Inn, Greenwich, Connecticut. This was Lower Manhattan, New York City. Patrons of the Stonewall, which was well known for the perversion that we're seeing today. Police entered the Stonewall Inn to stop the very thing that we're seeing today. The patrons fought back. It became violent. And there was born this gay liberation movement. Again, my heart is heavy. It's not gay. It's homosexual. But that began the movement. Okay, so again, hold that thought. June 28th, Stonewall, Greenwich Village, New York City. June, the entire month of June, Gay Pride Month. What have we seen over the last several weeks? Dylan Mulvaney, that pervert, a guy dressing like a woman and shilling for Bud Light. Bud-like stocks go down, right?
Yep. Yeah, putting Bud out of business.
Essentially. And those people...
And I'm glad, too.
Me, too. But those people say...
I'm absolutely glad.
But they're saying, well, we're racist, we're homophobic, we're transphobic for doing that. Mm-hmm. Then, what did we see next? We saw Target. Okay.
Oh, man.
Target now... They're starting to go really south, far south, because
they would be easy to put out of business because they lost their butt in Canada. They had to close all the stores in Canada that they started. Target is about a breath away from going into Chapter 11 anyway.
Yes, yeah, and Coach Dave Dobmeyer, by the way, cost them single-handedly, I think on one day, a couple of $1 billion because of the transgender bathroom issue. But that's another story. Okay, so you've got now everything I mentioned. Keep in mind, these are all kind of dots floating out there. What I noticed, again, this is part of a pattern. I've noticed certain memes pop up on social media. Some... for example, the CEO of Chick-fil-A said he was talking about the disparity between blacks and whites, and he went over to shine the shoes of a black man. And I thought, wow. And many people commented about this and said, well, I'm done with Chick-fil-A. Folks, that was 2 years ago, but they didn't put that on there. That happened 2 years ago. Okay, now, that to me, everything else, the dots are, you can't change those. The two-year event being brought back to life on social media, that shows more of a tactic and a strategy. but something that is as divisive as could as anything would be, but it's ill-timed for those people in the know. Those people, generally speaking, look, okay, all they see is the CEO of Chick-fil-A succumbing to the BLM movement. Okay, you have BLM as well, in mixed in BLM and Tifa and the trans movement. So Stonewall riots. What was going on around the time of the Stonewall riots? Very quickly, this is under 4 minutes. This is their strategy. Okay, you've heard of Cloward Piven. Greg Reese, I believe it was Greg Reese, did a Cloward Piven, just a very, very brief video on this. Watch this. And then I'm going to turn this over. After all of everything I mentioned, Randy Taylor, I want you to tell me what you think of what's going to happen based on everything I mentioned. Because I think I know the way your mind works, the analysis of your mind. And we're going to continue this, but let's play the Cloward Piven clip and then touch base with you afterwards. Go ahead.
Right on.
Maybe.
The Cloward Piven strategy was developed by Richard Cloward and Francis Piven in the 1960s. It outlines a strategy for radical social change by way of abusing the system to the point of destruction.
You know, we were associated with the social work tradition, which said that the programs worked as they were supposed to work. But they didn't work as they were supposed to work. And it was out of that realization, that insight, that we developed the strategy to end poverty, which called for a massive mobilization of social workers and lawyers and organizers to get people the benefits to which they were entitled. We were proposing a kind of movement that demanded what people were already entitled to by law, by regulation, by propaganda.
The primary goal of the Cloward-Piven strategy is to create a political and economic crisis that would destroy capitalism and lead to the implementation of a socialist system with a guaranteed income. The strategy involves enrolling large numbers of people into the welfare system, as many people as it takes to overwhelm and strain the system until it collapses. Everyone enrolled into the welfare system is also used as an army to carry out the destruction of the current system. They are registered to vote and instructed on how to vote. They are organized and mobilized and made to appear as grassroots organizations demanding more from the system. The ideal outcome of the Cloward-Piven strategy is to collapse the current system. According to their theory, this will compel the government to implement a universal basic income, which would then shift the U.S. towards a more socialist system with increased government control over the economy. Everyone is being encouraged to do it. Burn it down is the new sexy ring. In high school, they compare it to the American Revolution.
The Cloward-Piven strategy is a political gambit designed to overwhelm the American government by placing so many demands on the bureaucratic structure that it collapses. It's sort of a shock and awe campaign, a surprise attack on entrenched systems meant to force major changes to the ways that things are handled by the government. It may be messy, but it does harken back to a fundamental ideology of the American Republic. If it ain't fixed, break it.
All of this explains the likes of AOC.
What people like AOC are doing, what the squad is doing, is really very important, very important. But at the same time, there is this movement which is so big. It's, some people say it's the biggest movement in American history. It's hard to know because it's hard to measure a movement, but it is big and it is interracial and it penetrates into every small town. I now am in upstate New York. The town I'm closest to has maybe 2,000 people. You know, we have little demonstrations in front of the post office for Black Lives Matter. And this is Trump country. Nevertheless, there is a Black Lives Matter demonstration. So it's a very potent and important moment in American political development. And we have to make the most of it, because if we don't, we don't know what's going to happen, but it's not going to be good.
Reporting for InfoWars, right. This is Greg.
These are the six sons of bitches that...
She is so full of crap.
Well, not full of crap. She's an evil monster.
She's vile.
Okay, so
it.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
only the good die young. You can see that.
Well, what does that say for you and I? Well, I know what it says for you and I. I mean, yeah, yeah.
That's the crap they're drilling into our children's brains in school.
Well, exactly. Okay, so when you were tossing and turning, I was having the same gut feeling. Something's coming. Something's mm-hmm. right here. And what is it? Okay, that's the strategy. Okay, the strategy is made transparent by what we're seeing on social media. It's also made transparent by the media through their reports about, you know, the Gay Pride Month, which the perverse month that is celebrating perversity. And then you throw in the anniversary of the Stonewall riots, along with the July 4th holiday. You're looking at a social divide, okay, within the narrative. You're looking at the divisiveness. You're looking at the overwhelming of the system. All of this is taking place at once. So what's the takeaway from all of this? I think you're dead nuts accurate when you said, look, expect some sort of, and let's throw in one other thing. Even though the Fifth Circuit ruled on the arm brace ban, that's still up in the air with AR-15 the short barrel rifle, making them illegal unless you have a tax stamp and you're registered and such. So if you've got an AR-15 with a brace, then you're a felon automatically. But I digress. But having said all of that, we're now at this moment, what do you glean from all of this? I mean, this reinforces to me your thoughts, if you know what I mean. This reinforces.
I wouldn't have this gut feeling if something wasn't coming.
Oh yeah,
this is rare. This is very. I'm experiencing something right now. I'm experiencing something that I experienced many, 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 many years ago. I haven't experienced since many, 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 many years ago when I had my thumb on, you know, or my finger right on the pulse of the bad guys. It scares me. Some of the people that just everything that's going to happen, something evil is coming and we're going to get blamed for it.
There it is.
Advised. We're going to get blamed, although we had nothing to do with it. I'm telling you, I know it. I know it in my gut. That's God talking to me. People used to ask me, how do you find this stuff? How did you know where to go? Like, you know, when we were tracking down Zarqawi there in Iraq, you know, and I remember I had a video of him holding his baby boy off the back porch. But what screwed him was the background.
Exactly.
The trees and and next thing you know, Jordanian intelligence was in there and he was dead.
Yep.
Okay, I'm just telling you. That feeling scares me because I know it's death and destruction.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're at the end of the show. Please come back tomorrow. We are going to continue this exactly.
And I'm sorry if I've been rambling, folks.
No.
Once you get me on a topic like this, I could talk to you for days about it.
Well, this is going to impact everyone in the world, not just the United States.
That's right.
Tyranny is going to be the theme of the day.
And we've got to stop it.
And we have to stop it. Folks, you're listening to the Hagmann Report, HagmannPI.com. Randy Taylor, distinguished fellow among the fellows. And God bless you. See you tomorrow.
All right, brother.